Last week, we celebrated Grace and Joe's wedding, which was a wonderful occasion. I said to someone, I don't think I've ever been so tired on every level. Giving away your daughter's it's a thing. But I did discover, in a few months, I'm sure, at some stage we'll do another series on the gifts of the Spirit, and I did find another use for the gift of tongues, which is nice. Before, we were all waiting in the back to come up, and I tried to talk to Grace, and I just started crying, and then she was going to start crying, and then I tried praying, and I started crying, and she started crying. I was like, totally going to mess up her makeup. So the only thing I had left was tongues. And so I just prayed over her in tongues, and it was beautiful. It just like the Lord just prayed for me. So I'm adding that one to the repertoire. Maybe you use it once in your life, unless you've got lots of daughters. it was a day that was full of God's presence and joy. And I believe they had a good honeymoon, and good to have you guys back. I'm gonna round out the series on the blood tonight, and we don't have any guests. We have Alex, who hasn't been to any of these, but Alex is a wise man. He trusts me, so he'll keep up here, I'm sure. He loves Scripture too. So, if you missed any of the sermons, I would encourage you to listen to them. Not because of anything amazing that I said. Or I know Henrik preached one of them as well, which I was very grateful for. But this is the first time I've done a series. And how long have we been doing series for? Since COVID, I think. And we normally have this thing that we joke around that we keep preaching until everyone's got it. Last time it was Kaylee. Finally got it, and some of our series have lasted 3 or 4 months, if not 6 months, and this is the first one where I actually feel like I'm mourning it. I don't actually want to stop, and it's a strange feeling. I have felt so much of the Lord in it that I don't want to not think about it anymore. And of course, we can think about anything that we want, except we don't have an eternity of time, do we? So whatever the next series is in my academic work and preparing for classes and everything, and it's like I actually just want to spend hours still searching the depths of this because there's still so much more. And part of that reason is, I'll come back to this, and I've mentioned this before, but tonight is really just, it's going to be a summary, so forgive me if I am going to repeat some things, but I'm almost 51 years old, and I've never felt the level of transformation in my life that I have. And I might be the only person who's felt that, and then yay for me, sorry for the rest of you. That means I've done my job badly, obviously, but you grow up in the church, you meet the Holy Spirit, you have amazing encounters, and you preach for 5 years. It really impresses on your soul and your heart when the Lord actually starts to work you over. And so, I want tonight, I'm just going to run through very quickly, I think. I was going to run through some scriptures and just remind us of the key promises. But if you want to go back into this deeply, just study Hebrews again. And use your Bible concordance to go into the tangents. Okay, go into the other scriptures that Hebrews points to, that your concordance points to. And explore them. Charles Spurgeon said this in 1855. It's a while ago. Heaven was born in Bethlehem's manger. Had it not been for the sufferings and agonies of Golgotha, we should have had no blessing. O saint, in every mercy, see the Savior's blood. Look on this book, on scripture, it is sprinkled with his blood. Look on this house of prayer, it is sanctified by his sufferings. Look on your daily food, it is purchased with his groans. Let every mercy come to you as a blood-bought treasure. Value it because it comes from him, and evermore say, thou hast made us what we are. I know as we've gone through the series that that it's been a wrestle, and I've had a few conversations with people, and part of their wrestle, and this has been, you know, often the case with students who aren't with us today, but part of this wrestle is, like we have minds that switch on when you say certain words. So you mention the word reconciliation, or you mention the word atonement, and the brain goes into intellectual mode. And you have these little answers that you have, or these little responses that you have, and it just stops there. As Amanda was saying, we hear or we think, but we don't actually ever use the heart. We don't actually allow those things to penetrate into our spirit. And I think that's been the consistent thing for me throughout this whole series, is the Lord just not ever letting it just be intellectual. He's always just said, go deeper. Go deeper. What is the mystery here that I'm teaching you? What is the mystery that my blood is speaking over you and over the church? What is it that my cross actually did? And so I think one of the challenges has been that we kind of shift into intellectual mode. And the other challenge has been that, you know, so many of the images, and even of, you know, reading Hebrews, almost all of Hebrews' theme is around sacrifice. And we don't have what the Hebrews had. We don't have the images of the priests getting sprinkled with blood. We don't have the image of the priest walking into the temple with the bowl of blood that would actually get him access to the presence of God. It's like we have these nights, we can think about them, but they don't mean anything to us. They're not our culture. And so we've had to get into those cultures, into those other layers, and that's a challenge. But it's a challenge that God obviously wants us, he wants us to go after. He, after all, allowed Hebrews to be in his book. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago that the most profound thing for me has been that there are scriptures, you know, like we read Romans 8 and we read about the freedom that Christ wins for us. We read about what it means to be living by the Spirit and for the flesh to be defeated. And all of these things that I know they're true. I know they're true. I believe they're true. I've had encounters with their truth. But in this series, they've actually started to become reality to me. And in some conversations I've had with other people, I know this has been true for one or two, but I just wish it was for 99%, not maybe, I don't know what the percent is, but that these scriptures have actually become real to me. And the power of what Jesus did has become real. And it's absolutely nothing that I've done. Like, I've done nothing. I've done nothing different. It's like, as the Lord has been asking me to preach, he's been just doing something in me as if to show me that what I'm telling you is true. What I'm trying to do in you is true. What I'm asking you to press into and to seek is too true. And here is freedom. And here is more freedom. And here is more freedom. And I really don't think I'm deceived, because I really don't think the devil gives freedom. I don't think he gives freedom from sin. I think Jesus himself was accused of that. And he said, well, no, a divided house would fall. And so it's made me... It's been an absolute delight, and at times it's been difficult, because I've felt this want of the Lord, this desire of the Lord to move, and obviously. these things are only things that he can do. I can say words. I can't change hearts. Only he can do that. And so there might be times where you've been sitting in these pews and you've felt tired or foggy or distracted or whatever. And so I just ask you again just to listen to these few scriptures and just let the Spirit speak. Okay, I'm just going to say a few things. But let the scriptures speak. That these things, these ideas would be able to penetrate to the core of who we are. So see, these are some of the key scriptures that we've looked at. That if we were to look at a summary of what the blood and the cross of Christ has done, what Jesus' death did for us, that we are redeemed. The apostle says in 1 Peter 1, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your endless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As Amanda said, he has done it. He made the covenant. He fulfilled the covenant. We have to just receive the covenant. Or we could sing with the elders before the throne of God in Revelations, who declare to Jesus that you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. And within redemption, we have all of these layers which flow particularly in Hebrews, but they come out in other parts of Scripture. In Romans 3, Paul talks about our reconciliation, our propitiation. For there is no difference, Romans 3, 22, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That we are justified by Jesus. We are reconciled by his blood. And remember that sin requires blood. Sin leads to death. The blood of animals was not enough. Only Jesus' blood is sufficient. Only his death is enough to satisfy death. And this promise of reconciliation, this promise of reconciliation, again, like in everything I say tonight, we have to get it out of an idea and we have to get it into a reality, into actually how we live and what actually flows out of us. And this is what I talked about 2 weeks ago when I asked us, what is our testimony? What is the testimony that we're actually taking to the world? Is it a testimony of, well, we understand atonement, I can teach you this principle, or do I actually bring you a life that is reconciled with God so that when I speak to you of the love of Christ that led him to die and shed his blood on the cross, this is a reality that actually has power that flows out of me and out of you. Because Jesus died that we would be reconciled, he restores God's original intent that we are a people who walk with him, that we have fellowship with him. What? Is there anything more powerful in our lives? Anything more awe-inspiring? Is there anything that has more potential than that we are reconciled to God and the very Spirit of God lives in us? If it's actually what comes out of us, what flows out of us, if we actually live it and not just think it. Not only are we reconciled, but we are cleansed. The Apostle John, the disciple John, says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we've read in Hebrews, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus actually brings us complete redemption. No longer separation between us and God. That we are made clean. And again, this is one of these things I just felt the Lord saying, like, this is so much deeper, it's so much wider, it's so much bigger than anything that you have comprehended, Nicholas. Will you search it? Will you search it? And that's, again, it's what I've said to you, but I've said again, will you search it? What does it actually mean to abide in this reality of fellowship with Christ, cleansed from all sin, the conscience cleansed from dead works? And again, it's one of those promises, the same as the promises in Romans 6, the promises in Romans 8, the promises in Ephesians 1, the promises in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. They're these promises which I've read my entire life. And the Lord is showing that these are real. These are things that you can actually have because they're my word and they are true. And my death will actually achieve them. My blood will achieve them. But we're not just reconciled and cleansed, we are sanctified. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. We are made holy. Now, Scripture says that we grow in our holiness. We increase in our holiness. But in my religious mindset, it's always been, well, if I can get to a certain point with the Lord, you know, I'll reach a certain level of holiness, you know, and then as I mature, I'll get more and more holy, and that's true. Like, as we grow in the Lord, we should get more and more holy. But we all know old Christians have been walking with the Lord for 60 years who have very little holiness, don't we? It's not about age. It's not how many times we sit in these pews. And again, this wonderful promise of the Lord is, I've actually made you holy. Now, be holy, accept holiness, and now live to more holiness. Let my Spirit cleanse you. Let walk according to my Spirit. Let the flesh die. You are already holy. Now become more holy. And most of these things are true, even as they appear to be contradictory. They are both true. And his cross makes the way. Let us live the holiness. Because we have this astounding promise by Paul in Ephesians 1. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It doesn't just have to be when we get to heaven. The priests of old, as we read in Hebrews, are sprinkled with blood to cleanse them to enter God's presence. That the blood of Jesus gives us access to the Holy of Holies. These beautiful words from Hebrews 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have this right. We have this right to enter God's presence. I know how many times have we read the scripture? We have the right to enter his presence. We have the right to actually ask for his presence to enter us. And again, let us press into this, not just as an idea, but as our lifestyle, as our life. It is our right that we are restored to the Lord in fellowship and in intimacy. And we know we are made holy because the Spirit of the Lord, it enters that which is holy. And what a great gift he has given us in his Spirit. But then there's one more thing, and I'll finish with this. The blood of the cross of Christ is our victory. We read this, Revelations 12, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Jesus died on the cross. He sacrificed himself and his shed blood, sacrificed the law, and he ascends into heaven. And as he ascends into heaven, we have this amazing spiritual battle where Satan is cast out. And the thing is that thing that defeated Satan, that sacrifice of Jesus and the blood of Christ shed for our sins, that thing that removed him from heaven, is still the thing that defeats him. It's still the thing that he despises. It's still the thing that he fears. The more that we hold the testimony of the Lamb, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the cross, the gospel of a Savior who gave himself in love for our sins and satisfied the law and reconciled us and made us holy, all that this series has represented, the more that we see this, the more that we grasp this, the more that we live this, the more powerful we are to see the kingdom of God expand. Well, if I was to put it another way, the more that we experience the power of the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, to break our sin and shame, the more power we will have to take to those who are in bondage. And I've been praying all week about tonight and what to say. And as I said, I am very tired. It's been an exhausting few weeks. But I was asking, you know, Lord, why has this been so difficult? Why have I found this series such a challenge? Why so often when I've been preaching, I felt like there's this veil that I'm trying to tear. And I've seen it in the promises. I've seen it in the power of the promises. But I felt the Lord this week emphasizing, the devil hates my blood. The devil hates the power of the cross. Obviously, it is the thing that defeated him. He does not want it to be a reality in your life. He does not want it to be a reality in anyone's life. The cross of Christ, the blood that satisfied the law, took away Satan's right. It removed him from heaven. It is still the thing that we have to remove him from his strongholds on earth, from the strongholds in our hearts, from the strongholds of bondage over people's lives. It is still the source of freedom. He was overcome in heaven, and he is to be overcome in our hearts. And once he's overcome in our hearts, he is to be overcome in the world. This is the power of the blood of the cross. And this has been the greatest joy I've had from this series. It's not, you know, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and again, I'm not saying this because I've done anything. It's just this grace of the Lord. It's not just that there's no temptations that I used to have gone. It's the voices that have been in my head bringing fear are gone. Anxieties that used to bother me have just gone. Because it's not just the sin that the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ breaks. It's the reign of Satan that it breaks. And that liberty, that freedom is, well, I would pay $1 billion for it. I would. It's beyond money. It's the greatest gift we could ever be given. It's the full fulfillment of Jesus' promise, you know, that he came to give us life. It's the fulfillment of what Paul says to the Galatians, like you were set free for freedom's sake. Jesus' death has literally, again, and we're all family. We can be honest, can't we? Like, as we listen to these ideas, where does our spirit kind of hit a wall? Where does our heart hit a wall? Of like, yeah, I actually, to be honest, I just don't know that. I actually just don't know what it means to be clean. I've never felt that. I actually don't know what it feels to be completely reconciled to the Lord. I'm still working. There's still this little bit of me that's working. Or that word just can't penetrate deeper than my head. I can't get atonement deeper than my head. And I want us to be really honest with ourselves. You don't have to share this out. I'm not going to go around the room, although we're small enough we could actually do that. But I want us to be honest with ourselves. Like, where are these truths hitting a wall? And if that wall is in you, go after it. Pray until it's gone. Pound it. Until it's broken. Declare the cross against it until it is demolished. But don't settle for less than what Jesus promises anymore. Don't. Let us not do this. So I'll just finish with these lines. Which is more of a prayer. Let us yield to the power of the cross and the power of what Jesus' blood did. It will bring us close to God. Let it be life-giving nourishment and power. Let it be an experience of victory over sin that we then take to the world to see sin defeated in the world around us. Because the law is fulfilled. The accuser is cast out. His lies are no longer to have traction. The blood has purified us. No, it's made us a dwelling place for God. We are no longer to be men who are toyed with and women who are tormented. We are free. Let us claim and live out the victory of the cross. Let us claim and live out the power of the blood of the cross of Christ. So Hannah, do you want to come up and I'll just pray? I'd love us to sing a song which I think we all know, and Gratitude, which is just a beautiful song. And I want us to sing it with gratitude. It's called Gratitude. But let our words, even as we sing, even if they've got nothing to do with what I've preached about, but let them be our heart's response. That our soul will sing in response to what Christ has done. Our souls will praise him. But it does actually have quite a lot to do with what I've preached. So will you pray with me? And then we'll sing. Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, King of kings, and the Lamb who was slain. Jesus, it was your choice, and in response to the Father's request, that you surrendered your life that we would live. That you shed your blood, that the law would be fulfilled. Jesus, I ask by your Spirit, would you give us a deeper revelation? And I'm not asking, Lord, just for a fraction more. I'm asking for bucket loads more revelation of what your death has achieved, of what your blood did for us. Oh, that we would live in fellowship and intimacy with you and our Father. That we would know the reality of being cleansed and set free, not an idea, but our reality that we are free, that your very Spirit, Father, fills us. So Jesus, we ask and we claim the promise that you made, that you and the Father would come and make your home in us. So come, Lord, oh God. Come, Holy Spirit. Go deep in us. Make us even more temples of your presence. Thank you, Lord.